But first, we turn to a new report about the standoff at the Bundy Ranch. The story of what happened at Clive and Bundy's ranch seemed pretty straightforward. The Bureau of Land Management moved in to remove Bundy's cattle because he had not paid grazing fees. Numerous supporters of the rancher showed up, and most were very heavily armed. At that point, government officials decided that discretion was the better part of valor. They decided to return Bundy's cattle and withdraw. Since that happened, officials have said they will return to enforce the law. Now a report from the Southern Poverty Law Center says there is much more to the story. Joining us to discuss the findings of their report is Mark Potok. He's a senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Mark, welcome back to KNPR.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Your report says the Bundy standoff has reinvigorated an extremist movement. How did that happen?
Well, I think that it was seen very widely in the militia world, in the so-called patriot world, as a great victory. A first battle in the war against the government and a battle which was won in a pretty hands-down way. Of course, what they're not thinking about as they kind of celebrate the victory of the Battle of Bunkerville, so-called, is the fact that there's a major federal criminal investigation, and it is very likely that people will be indicted with respect to pointing guns at federal officers and so on.
Okay, so there have been extremist movements in recent decades. Who are these extremists?
Well, this is, in effect, the second wave of the militia movement we all heard so much about in the 1990s. The first wave ran from about 1994, when really the first major militias, the Militia Montana and so on, appeared. That movement petered out, although did not entirely disappear, by the end of the 90s. It essentially went quiescent. So we went from a peak of about 900 groups in 1996 to about 150. And then the movement kind of bumped along very quietly during the Bush years. What happened, though, was that beginning in 2009, the militia groups simply skyrocketed. They went from 149 in 2008 to 1,360 in 2012, which is the recent peak, and the numbers are still above 1,000.
Okay, so what do these extremist groups want?
Well, most of them are animated by one or another variant of a particular conspiracy theory, the idea that the federal government is involved in a secret plot to impose martial law on the United States, probably with the aid of foreign troops, to then strip away Americans' guns, to throw anyone who resists into concentration camps that have been secretly built by FEMA, and ultimately to force the United States into some kind of a socialistic one-world government, what's often called the New World Order. Mm-hmm. There are many, many variants on this conspiracy theory, and we heard some of them at the Bundy Ranch. The idea, for instance, that the protection of the desert tortoise, which is really what sparked the latest conflict between Bundy and the government, is simply an excuse. It's essentially a sham that the government has a secret plot to seize all public lands or seize the lands that rightfully belong to the people, that sort of thing.
You say as well that there's a lot of evidence that the militia movement and the Bundy family were working together. What's that evidence?
I think the core of the report, in terms of what may have been criminal activity, is our talking to a man named Ryan Payne. Ryan Payne was kind of the coordinator for the militia groups that were there. And what Payne said in the course of a very long interview with us was that Clive and Bundy and himself, Ryan Payne, had the day before the real confrontation on April 12th gone out around the Bundy Ranch and scouted out locations for snipers' nests, in effect, positions from which they could cover law enforcement officials and so on in what they expected to be a coming conflict. So I think until Payne started to talk about that, most of us saw what had happened at the Bundy Ranch as scary, as dangerous in certain ways, but as spontaneous, as sort of organically developing along with the situation.
Now, the report also suggests a direct link between the Bundy standoff and Jared and Amanda Miller, the couple who assassinated police at a local restaurant, tried to create a siege at a nearby Walmart. Talk a little bit more about that link.
Well, I think we tried hard not to overstate it because, of course, Jared and Amanda Miller were at the Bundy Ranch, but for a very short time. Bundys say that they were thrown off the ranch after it became clear that they had pretty wild extremist views. I think their talk of violence was scary to the Bundys, who do not want to be sort of tarred with their brush. But it's a fact that the Millers were at the ranch. They were clearly exhilarated by it. you know, whether that is what drove them to say, you know, now is the day that we need to begin killing to make the revolution, of course, none of us can say. The Millers are dead. But they do appear quite clearly to have been kind of exhilarated by this. And we mentioned in the report several other conflicts that have followed the Bundy standoff that are more similar in nature, conflicts between the Bureau of Land Management and militia groups and so on, land use issues.
We've also had a couple of self-styled sovereign citizens who attempted to assassinate police officers. Explain, if you would, the link between the Bundy episode and the appearance of these sovereign citizens.
Well, Cliven Bundy himself has filed over the years a number of documents which we were able to get a hold of in federal court, which are very much sovereign in nature. You know, there are certain kinds of phrases that he uses that are typical of sovereign citizens. He describes the state of Nevada as a sovereign entity, and the federal government as having no force or authority, and so on. He doesn't get much into details beyond that. Sovereign citizens generally are people who believe that the federal government has no power to enforce criminal or tax laws. It's true that an awful lot of people have come out of the sovereign citizens movement who are killers. The FBI has described the movement as a domestic terrorist movement, I think largely because a number of police officers have been killed in conflicts with sovereign citizens.
Your organization, Southern Poverty Law Center, has for many years tracked extremists and extremist movements. In all this time, I'm wondering if you've gotten some insight into what motivates these people. Why do they decide that ordinary democratic politics cannot achieve what they want?
Well, I think very largely because they are conspiracy theorists. You know, if you're a real conspiracy theorist, then everything the government does, or at least with respect to the government, then everything the government does is not what it seems. You know, so we see typically in this movement claims like, for instance, the idea that the Boston Marathon bombings were a false flag operation by the government, that the government actually set those bombs off and killed those people and maimed so many others in order to terrify Americans to accepting draconian anti-terrorism laws, to giving up their weapons to the government and that sort of thing. So, you know, these are people who are, look, I mean, they are people very typically, especially in rural areas, who are angry at the government for a variety of reasons. They believe the government is after their guns, very important. They believe that the government is doing everything it can to deny them access to public lands in a variety of ways. They're very, very much anti-environmental regulation. They see that as, again, another plot to deprive, you know, we the people, quote unquote, of our lands. And as I've said already, they are very much into conspiracy theories about what is actually driving events in our world today.
Your report says, too, that media figures and politicians have pandered to the militia movement. Give us an example of what you mean.
You know, Sean Hannity on Fox News going on about what a hero Cliven Bundy is. I mean, we heard that from congressmen. We heard that from the governor of Nevada. We heard that far and wide. You know, I mean, I thought it was remarkable. I mean, really a repulsive spectacle to watch as these public figures, you know, jumped in front of a TV camera to talk about Cliven Bundy, the great hero, the man with a constitution in his pocket. The reality is that Cliven Bundy is a thief. He's a man who stole $1 million from the American people, from you and I.
Mark Potok is a senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center. The center has just published a report about the militia movement and the standoff at Cliven Bundy's ranch last April. We have a link to that report at knprnews.org. Mark Potok, thanks so much for joining us.
A real pleasure. Thanks for having me.